Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 308, 70 degrees on this Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. How's everybody doing? Everybody hanging on? Everybody still here? Everybody still with us? Everybody still got their pants on? We're good. We're good. We'll get through it. It's going to be rocky times. They expected it. It was always predicted. We'll see. And, I had a bunch of posts today that I put out there on both sides, and we're going to cover it all today. And it's real simple. Will the recent moves help level the trade playing field? Well, for this administration's sake, they better hope so. That said, pushing $37 trillion in national debt, we need to try something radical and different. And that's exactly what's going on here. And it's interesting because I have a video of Nancy Pelosi back in 1995, basically proposing exactly what Donald Trump just did back in 1995, targeting China. I didn't get a chance to download it so I can get it here. Maybe we could play it for you. But you know what? Let me see if I can get it here for you. I wasn't able to transfer the audio and then Jake do his magic with it. So this one's on me because it was just too long of a video. Here we go. Let me see. Maybe I can get it for you. And again, this is 1995. This is Nancy Pelosi.
How far does China have to go? How much more repression? How big a trade deficit and loss of jobs for the American worker? And how much more dangerous proliferation has to exist before members of this House of Representatives will say, I will not endorse the status quo. As I mentioned, it's about jobs, proliferation, and human rights. And there are those who say we shouldn't link human rights and trade and proliferation and trade. I disagree. But if we just want to take up this issue on the basis of economics alone, indeed, China should not receive most favored nation status for several reasons that I'd like to go into now. I'd like to call the attention of our colleagues to this chart on the status quo that the business community is asking each and every one of us to endorse today. Right now, we have a $34 billion trade deficit with China, the 1995 figure. It will be over $40 billion for 1996. Since the Tiananmen Square massacre, this figure has increased 1,000% from $3.5 billion then to about $34 billion now. In terms of tariffs, I think it's interesting to note that the average U.S. MFN tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States is 2%, whereas the average Chinese MFN tariff on U.S. goods going into China is 35%. Is that reciprocal? On exports, China only allows certain industries into China, of U.S. Industries into China, and therefore, only 2% of U.S. exports are allowed into China. On the other hand, the U.S. allows China to flood our markets with a third of their exports, and that'll probably go over 40%. And it's limitless because we have not placed any restriction. In terms of jobs, this is the biggest and cruelest hoax of all. Not only do we not have market access, not only do they have prohibitive tariffs, not only are our exports not let in very specifically, but China benefits with at least 10 million jobs from U.S.-China trade. The president in his statement requesting this special waiver said that China trade supports 170,000 jobs in the United States, 170,000 jobs, whereas our imports from China support 10 million jobs at least. Fact is that U.S.-China trade is a job loser. And one of the reasons that it is because first let me just make another point, and that is that our colleagues on the other side of this issue will say the trade with China, exports to China have increased 3 times in the last 10 years. They have, but they fail to mention that imports from China have increased 11 times, thereby leading to this huge trade deficit. The other issue, in addition, if intellectual property is a $2 billion, $3 billion loss, technology transfer is in the hundreds of billions of dollars.
And again, this was 1995, and it goes on for another 2 minutes there. I've posted this on my ex account. I'm going to transfer the video over and get it onto my Facebook account so you could see it there. But you get the gist of it. She is calling in 1995 for exactly what's being done now, and we haven't done it until now. And now there's level the playing field. And yes, there will be rough waters. We've already seen, and we're going to play some of it today, companies and countries come around already. And again, if it does not show results, this administration will pay the price. And that's what a lot of people want. A lot of people are hoping for this pain. A lot of people, I'm getting the text messages. I'm getting the social media messages. You hear it. You see it on TV with the pundits. You see it in the headlines. Dow drops 1,300 points. A stock market lead worldwide sell-off after Trump's tariffs ignite a COVID-like shock. We'll see. And again, this administration will pay the price if it does not show dividends. It's as pure and simple as that. A lot of people voted for this. A lot of people voted for what's happening right now. And for that, you're not going to get every perfect day. You will have some rough times for a couple weeks, couple months. If it lasts longer than a couple months, there's going to be issues. So we're going to talk about this through today. It's interesting, the bits and pieces, the opposition, because they're making this political. This is all about politics. This isn't about what's better for America. This isn't what's better for workers. This isn't what's better for our economy, for our future, for our children's and grandchildren's future. It's about politics. And you have to be aware of what's going on. Since the election, the Democrats have been rudderless. They've been leaderless. They have no message. They have no platform. They're grasping onto this. You're crashing the stock market. Not even a clue how the economy and the stock market work together. The stock market is global companies. Of course they don't like this. They're being held accountable by America. Finally. Then you have them grasp on, because this is what they have now. This is their running marching orders. This, you know, we have them cornered. We can all run with this. And they are, and they will. And you have to expect that if you're a Republican. And then they're grasping on, well, Russia and Iran wasn't on this tariff list. Why is he covering for those countries? These are supposedly our enemies. Well, that's because there's been sanctions in place for 3 years already that have been way more devastating than any tariffs would be. And why are these little islands that are included in this tariffs? Because they charge us 10% tariffs. And if you look at those same very islands like Christmas Island, and there's a whole bunch of them that people threw out at me. Well, Canada and Mexico charge that very same island this very same 10% tariff. But America is bad. And let me ask you a question. If tariffs are so bad for the economy, if it's so devastating to a nation's economy, how come 170 countries charge us an increased tariff? United States has the lowest tariffs in the world. It's time we change that. It's time we make that more level. And that's going to take dedication. It's going to take some learning curve. And it's going to take some pain. And you're seeing that in the stock market. It will recover. And again, we're going to go through some companies that have already done the things that I talked about yesterday, specifically car companies who are already coming up with ways to not pass that price on to you. So we're going to get into it. I just wanted to start off with this real quick because, you'll have those saying, oh, you're trying to avoid this devastating economic loss that's going on. No, listen, I'm invested just as much as anyone else as far as 401ks, IRAs, investments. Pretty diversified, so it'll be weathered. Is there a loss today? Yes, there's a loss for everyone, pretty much. Is it mitigated somewhat between bond and mutual funds that really aren't that much affected? Yeah. But no one likes to see what's happening happen. But if it fixes things, if it makes things better, if it puts us in a better position in 3, 4, 5 months, it is worth that pain. If you're not willing to see that through, well, that's your personal choice. We'll see. And again, I wanted to get this out of the way because people are going, you're trying to avoid the subject. No, I'm not. We're going to talk about it throughout the day. And you're willing to call and more than welcome to call and talk about it. But let's bring stuff close to home like we like to do here. There's been a lot of pushback, and I'm glad that the public went to the Dunmore School Board meeting about school police officers. The Dunmore School District is looking to replace the Dunmore Police Department as their school resource officers with private police. Basically, they're going to create their own police force, which they're allowed to do. The court has to approve it. And it's going to be with retired state troopers. And listen, I'm retired law enforcement. I respect our retired law enforcement. Our Pennsylvania state troopers are second to none across the nation. I give them all the due respect, as well as all our police officers. There's a difference here, and I'm going to talk about this on many levels. You can hire very experienced, very capable retired police officers. Are they at the same physical standards as our active police officers, our younger guys and gals out there that are in their prime in the profession right now? Do they have the weaponry? Do they have the assets to properly protect a school? Do they have ballistic shields? Do they have tasers? Do they have long guns? Do they have everything they need to meet that same level of protection? I understand you're going to save a few thousand dollars. I think it's $50,000 altogether. But if you're delaying assets like a ballistic shield, like long guns, like the proper equipment, by not having active police officers there, you're jeopardizing the safety of everyone involved. If you want to talk to in addition to, let's hire these private police in addition to our school resource officers, that's a different conversation. And listen, any security is better than no security. But I'm not a fan, and I've written emergency action plans, quick response plans for school districts around the nation for replacing school resource officers with private police, even retired law enforcement. The way we are funding our school resource officers needs to be revamped 100% here in Pennsylvania. Listen, in New York City, our schools have school resource officers, the NYPD. The school district, the Board of Education in New York, does not pay the NYPD to have school resource officers. In our communities, in our towns, in our cities, our greatest resource, our greatest asset are our children, are our schools. They should be protected first and foremost out of anything else in a school. I mean, you look at the city of Scranton, you look at the town of Dunmore. Yeah, there's some businesses, there's churches, there's commerce, there's our schools, our children, where they are. If there was an emergency in any one of them, where would you put a priority level and where you respond first? I would say our schools, our children. The fact that the way we're doing this in Pennsylvania is, well, we pay our taxes to the school district, and then the school district pays money to the police department to provide police protection. Well, it's still our tax dollars. It's still the money we're paying in our taxes. If we're paying it to the school district or we're paying it direct to the police department, who cares on the other end, on the back end? Would it be better to fund our police departments directly for school resource officers so they could put them in, better train them, and put them in the schools? I just don't understand the middle person of our tax dollars going to the school districts and then school districts making decisions on public safety that most of our school boards have not a clue on about what's best for public safety. And I get being fiduciary responsible, saying, hey, if we go with these private retired police officers who are all good police officers, they're very capable, we'll save $50,000. Most school board members will say, that's a no-brainer. That's a great idea. Let's do that. There's also a control issue because schools like to have control over law enforcement rather than law enforcement acting like law enforcement. I've seen it firsthand in my home school district where the principals and the superintendents and the administration try to get the police to do and not do what they see fit. And I've seen it firsthand, so we all know that happens. Rather than law enforcement acting like law enforcement, being liaisons between the law enforcement community and our children, seeing them out in the community, seeing them in school, building that rapport. Most retired police officers, most retired state troopers, I would imagine are going to be somewhere in their 50s, maybe even higher. If there's an emergency in your child's elementary school, do you want 3 or 4 50- or 60-year-olds running to assist in that? Or do you want a couple of active, just out of the academy, 28- or 30-year-olds who have ballistic shields, who have heavy vests, who have ballistic helmets, who have long guns if needed, who have the assets that they need. A lot of times, canine units are available. Rather than them calling 911 and having a response that they could be across town for. I fully understand the view of saving money, using your tax dollars to the best available, but not at the safety of our children. And I think this is not just a local problem. I don't think this is a Dunmore School District or Dunmore Police problem. This is a Pennsylvania problem. The way these things are funded. The money is coming from the same place, you and I, the taxpayer. If it goes to the school district to get put into the police department's hands to prior police officers for the school district, we're still paying for it. So maybe a more direct cost where we'll fund the police department at X amount of dollars with the contractual obligation that they will provide X amount of school resource officers for that funding. And they will work all these things that they're doing now. Why the middle and back and forth? Why putting people who have no experience, no skill set in public safety, making decisions for public safety? And I could tell you right now, I would doubt that there are not many people in any school board in Lackawanna County, Luzerne County, that have public safety experience. I would rather put that in our law enforcement professionals' hands. So just my two cents on that. I think the Dunmore School District is right to look at the fiduciary impact. But in the end, you need to do what's best for the safety and security and well-being of your students and staff. And that doesn't even go to a liability issue. Because down the road, if something tragic does happen, you don't want anybody to be able to say you told you so. You want to make the best and have the best level of safety and security you can. And I think that is with active law enforcement that should be funded directly, but for whatever reason in Pennsylvania, it's done ass backwards like a lot of things. And again, that's a conversation for legislature. That's not a conversation for this specific incident, for this issue. But I think this should be revisited. And parents, I think you need to be heard here. I have over three decades of public safety experience. I've been in school active shooting situations. This is not what's best for the safety and security of our children. As much as I support and am myself retired law enforcement, I would much rather two or three 30-year-olds who are up to date on their training, their fitness, running to save my children than maybe me being down the hall having to get there. And that's just coming from someone who's done it. It's 326 here at WILK.